WTAW News Time is 4 minutes after 8 o'clock. It's 58 degrees. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Brought to you by BCR Realtors, the best agents in the Brazos Valley. Find them online at bcrbcs.com. Good morning. I'm Chelsea Reber. Bryan residents can look for a future public meeting regarding zoning regulations involving new housing for college students. Bryan Councilman Ruben Marine brought up the subject that was originally discussed in a joint meeting of the Bryan Business Council and Planning and Zoning Commission during yesterday's council workshop.
One of the hot topics, of course, are the stealth dorms, ag shacks. So I believe our next step on that is to have another public meeting and get feedback from the citizens.
Supporters for another public meeting included Mayor Andrew Nelson and Councilman Mike Sutherland. The Bryan City Council was notified yesterday of major changes at what used to be known as the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
We have changed our name from the Bryan College Station Convention and Visitors Bureau to Experience Bryan College Station.
President Shannon Overby says the name change reflects the agency no longer staffing a visitor center and their work extending beyond bringing more than conventions to the Twin Cities.
We do much more in the sports arena than we do in conventions currently.
The agency's new board chairman, Jim Ross, asked for financial support as the number of hotel rooms has nearly doubled from 3,400 4 years ago to more than 6,000.
Those folks need our help more than ever. And really want you to keep that in mind.
The agency will be moving soon into new offices in College Station's Wolfpin Creek area. Bryan police continue to investigate a crash during the afternoon commute yesterday that injured 6 people. It has not been determined who had the right of way when a car and an SUV collided at MLK and the southbound freeway service road. The driver of the car and 5 children inside the SUV were injured. Thunderstorm activity south of Curtin yesterday with lightning may have been responsible for a house fire. Brazos County Sheriff's Deputy Nathan Dennis says 2 people were in the house, which sustained heavy smoke damage and minimal fire damage.
One female was treated for minor smoke inhalation, but was treated at the scene and not transported. We were very pleased to see that they had an emergency plan in place. The kids follow through with that.
Volunteer firefighters from Precinct 3 and elsewhere in the county, along with units from the Bryan Fire Department, were at the scene. A veteran Bryan School District administrator is retiring at the end of the school year. That's principal at Bonham Elementary the last 20 years, Ken Newbold. Online at WTAW.com is a link to an online survey created by BISD that will be used in the selection of the next Bonham principal. Representatives of the Sexual Assault Resource Center of the Brazos Valley step up awareness efforts during April, which is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Executive Director Martha Opperstini told Brazos County Commissioners yesterday that presentations are given to kindergarten through college-age students throughout the center's 7-county service area.
Actually had 393 presentations this past year, and we're in front of almost 15,000 young people in our communities. So I think it's a good start, and we're working really hard at making sure that we can spread this awareness and this understanding.
Details about the center's upcoming activities are online at sarcbv.org. The Texas Senate has approved bills exempting victims and witnesses of sexual assaults from being punished under University Code of Conduct rules and making it easier to report such assaults anonymously and online. Senator Charles Schwertner, who represents Brazos County, said on WTAW's The Infomaniacs, it's time to end what he calls a culture of silence.
I do want to recognize A&M, that they were on the forefront of this with their Stealth and Stand Up Against Sexual Assault endeavor, and I think that shows a lot of foresight on the part of President Young.
Moving to the House following a 30-1 vote, the legislation would require universities to provide website links to anonymously report assaults, and victims and witnesses would be exempted from being punished for underage drinking and other school code violations. Heading down the home stretch of this year's United Way of the Brazos Valley Community Campaign comes another invitation to participate.
It is not too late. I will be happy to come out and meet with you and talk to your employees about getting involved in this work. And so we just encourage everybody to get involved in however they're comfortable.
President Allison Prince says with some corporate gifts yet to come in, the campaign is at $577,000 towards a goal of $700,000. More information about hosting a presentation or to make a contribution is online at uwbv.org. WTAW news time is 9 minutes after 8. It's 58 degrees. You can call or text us at 979-695-1620. This Look at News is brought to you by BCR Realtors. One more look at your local news this morning at 8:30, or you can always go to our website, WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
BCR Realtors was extremely helpful in helping me find my first home. Due to my unorthodox schedule and my long work hours, my realtor was able to meet me after hours and on weekends, which was crucial to my success. You can tell the folks that BCR Realtors really enjoy helping people and went the extra mile to answer any questions that I had. Thank you, BCR Realtors.
The best real estate firm in the Brazos Valley.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:10. Our Brazos Valley weather forecast is brought to you this morning by Action Sports, home of the Can-Am Spider and Kawasaki Mule Pro FXT. Stop by and see yourself at Action Sports, 202 Holloman Drive East, or click on actionsportstx.com.
Clouds and some patchy fog this morning. Some breaks of sunshine developing as the day goes on, 80 to 85. By evening, we could have an isolated shower or a thunderstorm. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight, 60 to 65. Partly sunny and breezy for tomorrow, 80 to 85. Tomorrow night, skies are cloudy. Lows are 60 to 65. And we'll stay fairly cloudy Friday with a chance of showers and a high of 80 to 85. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
Here you go. All right. So approximately 6,400 people worldwide die every hour. Okay.
Wow.
6,420. But 15,000 are born.
Whoa.
Well, yeah. Going to get crowded.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Those people need to find a new place to live. Okay.
Yeah, it's like one out, eight in.
Yeah, we were here first. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. And, all right. So, Sony sold 12 million floppy disks in 2009. Okay. 12 million of them.
Why?
But it was because it was 2009. And we thought that was as far as we were going to be able to go with this disky thing. The peak year was 2002 when they sold 47 million floppy disks. Remember?
Talk about a drop-off.
First, they were all black, mm-hmm. and then they started giving us neat colors.
Yeah,
that was fun. And then we got those kind of fatter ones, you know, that were bigger than these floppies. And then, of course, that whole thing. Okay, mm-hmm. they stopped in 2011. Okay, so talk about how your world changes.
Yeah, I haven't seen a floppy disk, and I don't know when.
How much plastic is being redirected into other uses that used to be putting together those floppies?
Mm-hmm. Jump drives.
Yeah.
You know, the replacements.
But yeah, I guess maybe so, but I don't know how much plastic you use.
Well, yeah, you probably use less in a jump drive.
So when was the last time you found a little cache of floppies someplace that...
Ooh, yeah, like going through old boxes
or something.
Yeah, that
you forgot about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember.
That's it. And, of course, the thing is, even if you find them now, you probably don't have a place to put them in your new tower, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because there's no telling what was on there. Oh, there's that stuff. Oh, I wondered where that was. Okay. All right, so according to a recent survey by BuzzFeed, I wonder if BuzzFeed is a fun place to work. You know, because they're always doing this. They're always asking questions of people. Who generates the surveys? Do companies come to them and say, hey, would you do this for us? Or does BuzzFeed just do it to get it out there? That's it. You're clicking on it, right? What does BuzzFeed do?
No, I was responding to a text.
Sorry.
I'm multitasking.
Okay.
BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
BuzzFeed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is BuzzFeed, and is that their whole job?
Oh, yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Clickbait, yeah.
All right.
I wonder, though, if a lot of, writers for BuzzFeed also just write for other online... I mean, I guess they probably have competitor rules. You can't write for BuzzFeed and maybe, The Onion Reddit or something like that. Yeah, I don't know.
So according to the survey from BuzzFeed, 70% of us sometimes use our finger as a spoon to eat things.
Okay.
Of course we do.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't say I use it as a spoon versus I just use it as a finger to eat things.
Yeah. Well, it's because you can't stick your face into the bowl of frosting.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Got to do that. Okay?
Well, unless it's right at the top.
Yeah.
But if you have to get into the jar, if you're halfway down, then it gets difficult.
All right. Here are eight more things that are gross.
Okay.
All right. Do you ever eat something that's too hot, spit it out, wait for it to cool down, and put it back in your mouth?
100%.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. Yeah,
they said 45% say they do. I'm betting the
usually not if I'm, like, in a public place. I try to refrain. But if I'm just at home, for sure.
And I appreciate you answering that. And you certainly don't have to volunteer to answer all those questions.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying that because the question is, do you ever pick food out of your teeth and then swallow it? 70%.
It's already in your mouth.
Yeah, 70% of us say
what,
yes.
What are you supposed to? What, is it? It would be more gross for someone to flick it in the room that they're in. I'd much rather them swallow the food that has already
come in
contact with their saliva.
Do you ever lick your plate clean? 35% of people say they do. That's why we have dogs.
No, that's Coda's job.
Yeah, that's it. Do you ever talk with food in your mouth? Well, of course most people do.
Try not to.
43% said yes. Do you make chewing or slurping noises when you eat? Only 25% said yes.
That's because they don't realize they do.
Yes.
That is because the other 75% don't realize they do.
That's right.
And some of the, I mean, you said with that other one, you know, the other people are lying. I think that's the case for most of these because it's like, have you ever done this ever? And the people are like, no,
Yeah, everyone has.
Do you ever end up with food all over your face? Well, it depends on what age you are.
Right. And what you're eating.
Right.
Yeah.
83% said they sometimes spill on their clothes. 45% say sometimes they get food in their hair.
Well,
I don't have to worry about that.
For me and Brad, that would take a concerted effort. For girls, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
Do you ever lick your fingers clean after you eat? 64% said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, did you ever eat food that has fallen on the floor? Well, of course.
Five-second rule. Come on.
We've all done that. I'm sorry. That's all there is to it. So, would you get an IRS tattoo if you could live tax-free for life? Would you get a big tattoo with the letters IRS?
A big, like how big?
I don't know. They're not telling us that.
Where would it be?
Yeah, exactly.
And is there like a tracking device in the ink or something?
Yeah.
That could lead to some really creepy stuff.
And, because possibly I would.
And I'm guessing, that those questions were asked. It's just they didn't give us any of those caveats there. So as a result, 20% of us said that we would.
Yeah.
And I could certainly understand that if you could live tax-free. Mm-hmm. That would be all right. It's estimated that that these things on cars and trucks are responsible for 5,000 extra barrels of oil being consumed every day in U.S. America. If we didn't have these things on our cars and trucks, that's what it would save. Those things are mud flaps.
Huh.
Really?
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something.
Okay.
You don't want to be behind an 18-wheeler without mud flaps.
Right.
Right.
That is not, I mean, I understand you want to tell us about barrels of oil, but.
Yeah, and it's not just mud that they kick up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like boulders.
Yes.
Even with mud flaps sometimes, you know.
Right.
They're called mud flaps, but they are really to guard
the windshield guards.
Yeah, windshield and headlights of the vehicles behind them.
Yeah.
That's what that's really about. Hmm. But that's fine. But see, and again, that's how they couch the terms, okay? We're supposed to feel badly because this goes on.
Right.
If they weren't here, then we wouldn't be using up all this oil. Yeah.
And why are they, what is their justification? Because of, like, you know, wind drag on them? Or...
Not sure. Yeah, that I can't tell you. Mm. All right, 13-year-old friends were at a pool in Reykjavik, Iceland, one of their moms was running a little bit late to pick them up. So one of the boys spotted Iceland's president, who was at the pool. He was there presenting the swimming pool with an award. And one of the kids goes up to the president of Iceland and asks if he could get a ride home. And he did it. The president,
of course he did.
The president took these two kids home.
How funny.
Well,
that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like a real guy would, like a real person. So.
Yeah.
All right, are either of y'all following this this whole chicken nugget Wendy's thing?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I heard something about it, but...
A teen's Wendy's chicken nugget tweet seems to be on track to become the most retweeted of all time.
Yeah.
Carter Wilkerson has turned to the internet for help in securing a year's worth of free nuggets from Wendy's which is her promised prize if she can reach 18 million retweets.
Whew.
18 million retweets.
What is she at?
You know, I don't know where she is right now.
Okay.
I bet you. 18 million was the arbitrary number that Wendy's threw out when she asked, and so how many likes do I have to get or reposts do I have to get?
And so she's on it. I mean,
yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Sure. I mean, I think that's probably fine.
And she's getting there.
Is she?
I mean, I don't know if she can ever get to 18 million. But I think she's encroaching upon the most retweeted photo ever, which was that one from the Oscars with all the celebrities.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Was it Ellen's selfie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Interesting. Well, and the thing is, it doesn't hurt to retweet something like that because it doesn't really stay on your timeline forever because as you tweet, it just kind of goes to the bottom.
Right.
It's not offensive, so people won't get mad at you for retweeting it.
Yeah.
So, good idea by her.
Makes no sense, yeah. All right, so this has moved to the 8 o'clock hour after yesterday being in the 7 o'clock hour about the doctor. And, of course, we got some details on this doctor, David Dow.
And the more I heard about it and the more I thought about it, I mean, I can see why people's opinions are so different about this whole thing.
Yeah, because yesterday we were a little bit surprised about the tweets that we got.
Yeah.
And what their or the text that we got, what their take on it was. Well, now we find out, if in case you didn't hear, it's interesting because they say the media found this, and I don't believe that at all. I believe that United Airlines had folks on this guy quickly to find out everything they could about his background.
Oh, for sure.
And then it happened to leak to the media.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, details have emerged that he's a pulmonologist, Elizabethtown, Kentucky, was arrested, eventually convicted of prescription drug-related charges in 2003, and got his license back. He used deceit and fraud. He was given 5 years probation, and by 2015 was permitted to resume practicing. Mm. So he's still in the hospital, but most importantly, he's got a lawyer.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of goes back to the whole, you know, I mean, if police are asking you to leave, I mean, these are air marshals. It's not just like you're getting mad at some flight attendants.
Right.
And apparently several other people left, you know, when asked.
They
he
did.
Was the only one
who did that.
And,
you know, I mean, just to cap off the other side of the argument, though, of course, I think at some point when they realize this is going to turn into violence, they should probably have said, let's randomly choose somebody else.
Certainly.
Well, but then it's like, oh, so if I just act out and I act like a jerk, then I can get my way.
True.
It's like a toddler throwing a tantrum, knowing that if they cry enough, you know, mom will give in.
Mm-hmm. There are people who obviously would take advantage of that very situation. I'm hoping part of what comes out of this, and I think there will be some changes, but it's clear that most airlines have situations where they have to move personnel from place A to place B. Like you said yesterday, why can't they get somebody at Louisville to go ahead and work an extra shift to get that taken care of? But if not, guess what? Computers, they've got enough computer history and tracking to know maybe we have to hold X number of seats on these airplanes for our employees just because they have to reposition.
Or don't let the passengers on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I would have been upset about. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're not going to let me on the plane, I'm going to be mad, but at least don't let me on the plane and then remove me.
Yeah, it was so they definitely had some benchmarks that they needed to keep.
Right.
And, this situation in a terminal would have been a completely different situation than once people have gotten their stuff on the plane and they packed it up.
Mm-hmm.
In response to the crisis, the airline stock went down 6% before the market opened yesterday. That amounted to a $1.25 billion loss, which would be pretty big. However, by the end of the day, it came back up.
Yeah.
It only cost them $250 million.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So, again, wholesale.
That's it?
Yeah. I'm going to turn that phone off.
Okay.
Yeah. So, again, there are a lot of ways that United could have spent money that would have put them in a much better position as far as the general public is concerned. And, again, all the airlines are probably going to make some changes.
Everyone's taking note right now,
for sure.
How many smiles are in your bank account? How many laughs? How many hugs and shoulders to lean on? These are the special moments in life, the milestones, the heart-to-hearts that create the most lasting and cherished memories. How many lives have you touched? How many haven't you? It's never too late to accumulate the kind of capital that really matters. Because when you add it up, after all the years, is there anything that matters more? How will you be remembered?
The new Callaway Jones Funeral and Cremation Center is now open. Please join us for an open house and ribbon cutting on Wednesday, April 26th at 4:30 p.m. Tour our modern, comfortable, and spacious facility designed to help your family smile again. Visit CallawayJones.com.
I'm Rossa Kay with Your Money Now. The Trump administration is ending its federal hiring freeze. Agencies will be able to hire again starting today, but Office of Management and Budget Director Mick Mulvaney says they have to submit plans to cut costs. President Trump ordered the hiring ban in January. Walmart announced more layoffs yesterday as it shifts its attention to its online operations, and today announced customers who order items online to pick them up at their local brick-and-mortar Walmart may get a discount. The program starts next Wednesday. Investments seen as safe in times of uncertainty are perking up while the major indexes wilted. U.S. Treasuries rallied, sending their yields near their lowest levels in 5 months. The Japanese yen continues trading near its highest level against the dollar since Election Day, and gold futures are at a five-month high this morning as well. Investors are eyeing geopolitical tensions and not making big moves. Stocks ended the day almost unchanged. The Dow gave back 6 points, the Nasdaq dropped 14, and the S&P 500 shed 3. That's Your Money Now.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-732-1515 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-732-1515. That's 800-732-1515. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
For years, you've heard me say, we'll make mowing as close to fun as it gets. But if you don't come and test drive one of our zero-turn mowers, how will you know? This is David with Kyrus Truck Center. The grass is growing and the mowing season is here. If you're still using that old mower, it's time to upgrade to a zero-turn mower from Kyrus. The zeros are back. Cut your mowing time in half with zero down and 0% interest on all zero-turn mowers at Kyrus. Kyrus Truck Center, Highway 21, half a mile east of the bypass in Bryan.
Who's going to take the stage May 6th at College Station Starlight Music Series? You decide through the Voters' Choice Contest. Check out the contenders and cast your vote at CSTX.gov/Starlight. Voting ends April 15th. Vote today at CSTX.gov/Starlight.
Tag, it's yours.
Aggie students, faculty, and staff, it's time for Tag. Register for your 2017-2018 parking permit at transport.tamu.edu by July the 5th.
Just point, click, permit. Tag, it's yours. Couldn't be quicker or easier.
Log on to transport.tamu.edu 24/7. Don't wait. Register for your 2017-2018 parking permit now.
Texas A&M Transportation Services.
Hallmark Cleaners understands that you make an investment in your clothes, so they don't cut corners when it comes to your dry cleaning. Hallmark Cleaners provides quality processing at competitive pricing. They have three BCS locations, South College Avenue, Rock Prairie Road at Highway 6, and Welburn Road next to Chicken Express, as well as one in Navasota. Experience great convenience with Hallmark's drive-thru and same-day, in-by-9, out-after-5 service. Hallmark Cleaners, the Brazos Valley's trusted dry cleaning and laundry service for over 20 years.
Hospice Brazos Valley, the only nonprofit hospice in the Brazos Valley, salutes their volunteers who are the heart and soul of their mission. Hospice Brazos Valley volunteers provide help, support, and comfort to their patients and families. Every volunteer program provides rewarding opportunities for caring people, and there's a place for you no matter what your skills are. It's easy to become a Hospice Brazos Valley volunteer. Visit hospicebrazosvalley.org for new volunteer orientation or call Rochelle York at 979-821-2266. Hospice Brazos Valley, comfort is our specialty, trust is our promise.
Everyone knows what a pain passwords are. That's why Apple's Touch ID fingerprint recognition system has been such a hit. But as it turns out, these fingerprint sensors may not be as secure as we've been led to believe. Kim Commando with your Wednesday Digital Consumer Tech Update. In 2013, fingerprint sensors revolutionized smartphones. They're standard on all iPhones, MacBook Pros, and even many Android phones. But this week, researchers at both New York University and Michigan State University released a study showing that fingerprint sensors can be fooled by, guess what? Fake digital fingerprints. Researchers were able to fool the sensors 65% of the time. And it's not just a case of unlocking smartphones. The fingerprint sensors also authorize purchases of virtually anything at any price using Apple Pay and Android Pay just by touching your thumb to the sensor. Neither Google nor Apple are commenting. Get all the tech news updated 24/7 at news.commando.com. That's KOMANDO.
ADT presents What to Consider When Considering Home Security. An ADT sign is more than a sign. It's a line in the sand. On one side, your family. On the other, an uncertain world.
For over 140 years, more people have chosen ADT to help prevent crime than anyone else. Get ADT starting at just $28.99 a month.
Tested, trusted, proven ADT.
With 36-month contract for licensing and terms and conditions, visit ADT.com.
HelloFresh delivers recipes and ingredients for a home-cooked meal in around 30 minutes. Like this recipe. Start with a working couple. Add two demanding jobs. Mix all too well. Receive HelloFresh delivery. Trim off temptation to order pizza. Follow step-by-step recipe until holy ravioli, you can add mushroom ravioli gratin to your resumes. Fist bump and enjoy. Delicious ingredients you'll love to eat. Simple recipes you'll live to cook. HelloFresh. Get cooking. Get $20 off your first delivery plus free shipping at HelloFresh.com/radio.
The Kim Commando Show is brought to you by Kubota. Value, efficiency, and performance. Find a Kubota dealer near you at TexasKubotaDealers.com.
WTAW News Time is 8:31. It's 59 degrees. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Brought to you by Awards & More. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards & More can put it there. Good morning. I'm Chelsea Reber. Bryan College Station no longer has a Convention and Visitors Bureau.
As you know, we have a new office in just a couple of months. We no longer will serve as the visitor center, so we kind of needed to get rid of the visitor part of the name. And conventions is not all we do.
President Shannon Overby told the Bryan City Council yesterday the agency is now called Experience Bryan College Station. The new board chairman, Jim Ross, said hotel owners need the city's support more than ever after increasing the number of rooms from 3,400 in 2013 to more than 6,000. Future construction of new housing for college students in Bryan may include additional regulations. During yesterday's council workshop, Ruben Marine brought up the idea of a future public hearing about what he called stealth housing and ag shacks. Supporters include Mayor Andrew Nelson and Councilman Mike Sutherland.
I'm glad to hear about that. I saw a house going up on T Street, which I thought was absolutely insane. We need to look into that.
Yes, sir.
I'll leave it at that for now.
Amen for that.
Marine says the idea came up during a joint meeting of the Bryan Business Council and the Planning and Zoning Commission. There will be at least one new principal in the Bryan School District next year. 20-year Bonham Elementary principal Ken Newbold has announced his retirement. BISD has created an online survey for Bonham parents and staff, along with community members, to identify the traits they'd most like to see in the next principal. A link to that survey is on our website at WTAW.com. Five children in an SUV were among those injured in a two-vehicle crash yesterday afternoon. Bryan police report the children were among nine people in a Tahoe involved in a collision with a car at the intersection of the southbound freeway frontage road and MLK. The SUV was going south and the car was headed west. Investigators have not determined who had the right of way. The driver of the car, who was also injured, was ticketed for not having a driver's license. The driver of the SUV was ticketed for having five unrestrained passengers. Multiple agencies responded to a house fire yesterday during thunderstorm activity south of Curtin. Brazos County Sheriff's Deputy Nathan Dennis says whether the fire started by a lightning strike is being investigated. Dennis says a woman was treated at the scene for minor smoke inhalation. She and a child are credited with using a family evacuation plan. The end of April means the end of the community campaign for United Way of the Brazos Valley. President Allison Prince says with some corporate gifts still to come, the campaign has reached $577,000, which is short of the goal of $700,000. Details on how to make a contribution or to arrange a presentation are online at uwbv.org. And April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. That means representatives of the Sexual Assault Resource Center of the Brazos Valley are, among other things, visiting county commissioners throughout their 7-county service area. Executive Director Martha Operstini thanked Brazos County Commissioners yesterday for supporting their counseling program.
In 2016, we served over 550 clients. Of those, 256 were brand new. And of those, 157 we met at the hospital the day of or shortly after the incident that occurred.
Upcoming activities includes the Shining Force Survivors Dinner and Awards Ceremony on the 25th. More information is on the agency's website at sarcbv.org. WTAW News Time is 8:35. It's 59 degrees. You can text us at 979. That was a question. It's 59 degrees. You can text us at 979-695-1620. This Look at News, it's brought to you by Awards and More. More news anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
Awards and More should be your first stop for plaques, trophies, and custom awards. Whether you're promoting your business or getting a trophy for your little leaguer, Awards and More will custom design just the right product for you. Awards and More has t-shirts, printed promotional products, custom engraving, and embroidery. Call 696-3886 or go to awardsandmoreinc.com. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards and More will put it there. Awards and More, 3518 South Texas Avenue in Bryan.
What would the perfect moment in time be for you? Would it start with a Swedish massage in the morning, followed by a customized body wrap? Maybe a European facial in the afternoon, a deluxe spa manicure or a pedicure? Perhaps your perfect moment in time would include it all. At Galleria Day Spa, we create a time just for you. Then we gently slow time down. For an entire day or just an hour, call the Galleria Day Spa for your perfect moment in time. 822-5756 or visit us online at galleriadayspa.com. Gift certificates available.
836, let's check some weather. It's brought to you this morning by Nationwide agent Mike Kilgore. Insurance for yourself, your family, your business. Nationwide is on your side. Call the Kilgore Insurance Group at 776-1900 or stop by the office on Harvey Road. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval. Here's some weather for you.
Satellite photo showing quite a bit of cloudiness over the region this morning. There may be some patchy fog in a few spots. The clouds will thin, allowing for some filtered sunshine today. But as the day goes on, we'll see an increased chance for a shower or a thunderstorm during the afternoon, 80 to 85. Clouds tonight, 60 to 65, partly sunny and breezy tomorrow, 80 to 85. Lots of clouds tomorrow night. We'll stay partly to mostly cloudy Friday with scattered showers, 80 to 85. I'm meteorologist Rob Carolyn for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
There you go. It's 8:37. The fog is finally clearing out of here. And again, we'll be in the 80s, it looks like, all week long. And anticipating being in touch with John Rainey in just a minute. As the House finished up their budget stuff yesterday or last week on Friday, and a little bit earlier than they even thought. But that means now the work of committees goes forth. And John is the vice chairman of the Higher Education Committee in the House. And they've got some legislation. They've got some hearings coming up, I think, this morning. So he may be in prep for that. So we're going to do our famous tag team interview then. We're going to get started with Mayor Mooney, and then when we hear from State Representative Rainey, then we'll delve over there and kind of come back. It'll be like our back-and-forth type thing. Good morning. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing well. At least we're not dealing with the weather we had yesterday.
You know, that's true, and we've been able to dodge bullets, which is nice. Not to, you know, with the Weather Channel, we always see the worst of what's out there, and for cities, there's no city of any size that really can take the kind of weather that some of them get. Well, there we go. Here he is. He found his way to the phone. State Representative John Rainey joins us this morning. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Scott.
Great, great. We were just talking about, you got your hard work done. You got your budget taken care of. I understand. Did you happen to be on the floor when the two state representatives got in each other's faces?
Well, that was quite fun.
Well, you got to have something to make the headlines, right?
Well, you know, we've been serious all night, and I thought that was pretty serious, but yeah. It was also funny.
Yeah.
One of the representatives wanted to do away with the feral hog program, and this guy was from a rural district. It's a real problem statewide, quite frankly.
Sure.
So he wanted him to pull the bill down. He wouldn't pull the bill, the amendment down. So he amended the to take, I think it was $900,000 in state money going to his district to put it against, give it to education. And it passed well over 100 votes. So eventually it was pulled. But it was quite interesting. I thought we might have a little fisticuffs.
Yeah. Well, you tried to cut funding. Yeah, it's fun. Anyway, all right. So now let's turn our attention to a higher education committee. You're the vice chair of that. You've got some meetings scheduled this morning in Austin to discuss a number of bills that are related to a lot of stuff. Among them, I know members you're probably going to be discussing tuition and fee exemptions for military personnel, right?
That primarily is modification of the Hazelwood Act, and the Hazelwood Act was never funded appropriately, frankly. What it did, and I don't remember whether it was 09 or 11, Senator Vandeput amended that to allow it to go what we call legacy. In other words, if you didn't use your benefits, then you could pass those benefits on to your children. And it pays for up to 150 hours of tuition and fees.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that all of a sudden, there's more legacy folks going to school on that bill than there are the ones that actually were in the military. So it's created quite a problem. Basically, the price was just put on the backs of the universities. They had to absorb that. Well, I think at A&M, it's somewhere well over $20 million now.
Okay.
In lost revenue, lost tuition and fees. So the universities are squirming a little bit about it, and I don't know that I disagree with them. I think the things should have been funded to begin with, but it had been such a small portion of their budgets for many years that nobody considered it too much. And when that bill was passed, there was no fiscal note attached to it. I'm talking about when the most recent change took place, when Senator Vandeput did that 6 or 8 years ago. It had no fiscal note, so it just sailed through. Well, the fiscal note was not on the budget, but it was on the universities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real concern to universities. It's a real concern to the veterans, because once you give something, it's hard to pull it back.
Sure.
And so this new bill, I've reviewed it. I'm not sure I've got all the details on it down, but they're going to change it to from 180 days of service to two years. And that's going to be include reserve time, where the others had to have 180 days or more active duty.
So put some brackets in there, I guess. Let's
put some brackets in it, and it's going to be interesting to see what it all comes out. It's going to be a tough nut to break because there's still not any money for it, and that's the real concern mm-hmm. to me.
There. What are the other things? Yeah, go ahead.
It ends up being on the backs of those students that are paying the fees. That's just the way it is. Whatever grant, whatever set aside, whatever anything that's not funded with money ends up being a call for tuition to go up on those that are paying tuition in order to cover the fees and so forth for those that aren't. So it bothers me a little bit that happens that way.
John Rainey joining us from Austin. He's the vice chair of the House Higher Education Committee. One of the other things that y'all are looking at is potential establishment of the Texas Higher Education Innovation Accelerator. What does that mean?
Ooh, let me grab that bill.
I mean, it sounds like a really impressive something or another. I'm just not exactly sure what we're supposed to be able to do with that.
Well, it's got a good title.
It does, yeah, yeah. That's for sure. We'll dig it up. We'll dig it up next time. That's fine.
Okay, I've got it right here, but I just hadn't covered that one very well.
I understand. Okay, how about the A&M University Systems College of Pharmacy? Y'all are looking at regulations for location of that.
That has been down at Texas A&M Kingsville since its inception, and I suspect it'll stay that way. I don't know. I think it was a fear from Chairman Lozano, who represents that district, that it could end up being moved to College Station. He just doesn't want that to happen.
Okay.
And I frankly haven't heard anything from the university about that. So if they were real concerned about it, I think they would have been talking to me and saying, hey, we don't want this bill to pass, or we want it to pass, whatever. So it must not be something they're thinking about. Although I do know that they do have a few students, or we're talking about having a few students in College Station. So,
Representative John Rainey joining us. Anything else we need to chat about before we get together again next week?
Well, I had a couple bills laid out this week that I think are pretty good bills. Had one on intellectually disabled individuals who are paid a very minimal wage, and what we are doing is we're going to make sure that those folks are paid when they're things that are on state contract, at least minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
And typically the state is paying those wages anyway, or subsidizing it, and I just want to make sure they're paid a wage that's fair. In some instances, and I don't think there's a whole lot of those, but there were folks being paid to assemble things or put nuts in a bag or whatever.
Sure.
And they were getting 1 to 2 cents an hour, and I just thought that was absolutely ridiculous.
Of course, I would agree.
So it only affects those. There's only about 410 folks that are involved in these programs that it affects, but to me it was just not right.
Right thing to do, kind of thing. Right, exactly.
Right.
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
And then we got our veterans bill up that on the floor this week that prevents the university from dismissing a person who's getting GI benefits if the amount is late arriving. So it's a good bill too.
I'm not on Facebook, so I didn't know to wish you a happy birthday last week. So a belated happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you, Scott. You know, it's always nice to have those.
Yes, it is. There's no doubt about that. State Representative John Rainey joins us on Wednesdays. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time again.
You bet, Scott.
All right,
see
you
later.
All right, bye-bye. All right, let's turn our attention to City College Station once again, and Mayor Mooney's here this morning. All right, here we go.
You sure?
Yeah, I think so. All right, so more four-way stop signs coming to College Station. All right, what's going on?
Well, you know, the two intersections are along Southern Plantation. And, of course, one of the streets that's the busiest now, you've got Decatur going right through there.
Mm-hmm.
That'll take you out to Tower Point. And as Tower Point develops, a lot more traffic. And so folks will say, well, wait a minute, four-way stop? Why four-way stop? Well, you can put up all the speed limit signs you want. That's not going to slow anybody down, mm-hmm. really, when you come right down to it. Not to the levels that you need them to slow down. And it's a neighborhood, lots of little kids. You come right down Southern Plantation, you're going to hit their large neighborhood park with the pool right there. So you know you're going to have bicycles, pedestrians, all that kind of traffic. So putting in four-way stop signs makes the most sense. It's also the most affordable.
Sure.
Because otherwise you're going to have a police officer out there with radar, and we've got a shortage of folks on patrol right now as it is. So just getting them to stop will be the answer.
Story we have today, Convention and Visitors Bureau is changing their name to Experience Bryan College Station. They made that presentation to Bryan Council yesterday, mentioned some new marketing and strategic priorities. As the largest contributor, what does that mean to College Station?
Well, you know, College Station, as I'm sure you, when you heard the release, they were talking a concern about the number of hotels. And we've got more that are about to come online.
Mm-hmm.
Stella just opened up out there in Traditions. We've got the Calvary, which is open, a unique place. If folks haven't been out there, need to pay
sure.
a little visit, take
mm-hmm.
a tour. And George will be opening up. We've got Embassy Suites, which is well under construction.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few others that are still knocking on our door. You would think folks would be looking around and going like, well, no, there's too many hotels here. Well, folks take a look at the long term, and they see the growth of the area, and they know that there's going to be more businesses here, and this is moving to becoming more of a regional shopping center, almost kind of like what Post Oak did to the area when it first opened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the days of the malls have faded a bit, you know, and there's challenges there, but we've got other big names that folks would recognize that are looking very seriously at College Station right now. And, you know, for some folks, that would mean an overnight stay. So we need to do that. And the CVB is taking some steps. They realize that our Achilles heel right now are those Mondays through Thursdays,
mm-hmm.
When we don't have a football game or some other big university or other community events going on that draw folks in. So they're taking some steps to make certain that folks know that we're open for business in more ways than just sports.
Sure. Latest area getting lots of chat from the neighborhoods or is around College Hills Elementary School. There's some discussion about doing some replatting over there. You heard a lot of citizens on the last meeting.
Right. Well, the issue that served as the catalyst for a lot of that discussion was actually just withdrawn. And so that plan that folks were up in arms about isn't going to happen. But what it did do was, and credit goes to Dr. Suzanne Jaruleski and the folks in her neighborhood who got together just as recently as yesterday. We had a meeting with representatives from the neighborhoods in that particular area just east of Texas Avenue and up to College Hills and mm-hmm. so forth. And we were able to come up with some ideas. And so kudos to them for doing some research, working through the process. And just this morning, I sent a letter of thank you to Dr. Jaruleski and thanked her for kind of leading the charge, if you will, to make certain that the city knew what their concerns were, but didn't just stop there, did some of the research and such. And we're hard-pressed. We've got a staff that's stretched to the limits. And so when somebody else can jump in there and dig a little bit and come up with some very reasonable ideas, hey, we'll stop and listen.
Well, and it's hard to really overestimate the importance of the response from the city. I have to say that. I really, really do, because mm-hmm. there's no doubt that College Station has made some bad decisions in the past, but this sounds like a really, really good situation.
I think it is.
Yeah, yes. That's good. Is there anything you can tell us about the CIP update, where we might be there?
Sure. Oh, my goodness. Where do we start? Where do we stop? You know, transportation was one of the primary areas that the Citizens Group came up with in 2015, that summer. And so things that we're taking a look at, of course, Holloman, Dowling down to Rock Prairie, we're working on that right now because that's going to get a lot of attention. As you know, the school district decided to delay for a year their plans for an elementary school in that area. And so we've got to think forward as to what that area is going to look like, because wherever you build a school, you're going to have a neighborhood.
Yes, you will.
And
that's for sure.
And so we're going to take the time that the school district was able to give us, and they did it for a number of other reasons, though, too. But to be able to get in there and actually plan this out so that that roadway should be responsive to the needs that it will face years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Railroad crossings up and down College Station. I mean, we can, you know, the Kane crossing is going to be closing. The Deacon will be opening up, and that's largely due to the barracks being there on the opposite side. But we have to be concerned. I would happen to be over at Bluebell Park, Olson Field, this weekend a few times. Enjoyable times, thank goodness.
Good crowds, yep.
For the most part.
Mm-hmm. All that. Yep.
And, you know, being a train buff, I count the trains.
Sure.
My wife says, we've got a ball game going on. I know, but we got a train going by.
Yeah.
You know, we had just under 150 cars on one of those trains.
Mm.
Now, that's long.
Yep.
All right. Just last night, there was a train parked on the sidings over here along Welburn Road. Four engines and a pusher, all right, because they're getting longer.
Sure.
All right, and so we've got to make sure that these crossings won't impede traffic. And so we're going to be looking at things, the Holloman and Welburn crossing, which has a nasty dip there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have to do something there to get some grade separation. And, of course, we're moving forward at George Bush and Welburn also. So there's a number of things. Lick Creek Park, we're moving along on that. I was just talking this morning to a fellow whose company is putting in the fire suppression apparatus at the new nature center out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and oh, goodness, the library. When in 2008, when that bond issue went through, everybody was thinking about more space for books. Oh, my goodness, what 10 years will do.
how technology changes things,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay, that's all the time we've got there. We were really squeezed. I'm sorry, and we had a lot of stuff to cover, but I appreciate the time this morning.
Glad to do it.
That's Carl Mooney, the mayor of College Station.
So you're cruising south on Highway 21 past Caldwell, heading to Highway 77 south through Giddings. Well, how about taking a shortcut? Yeah, hang a left on 141 and go through the town of Dime Box, where Jesse Rangel runs the Dime Box General Store. And since I took up his time, I let him plug his store.
Basically a general store. We sell feed. We sell some little bit of lumber for those weekend hunters that come out here to Dime Box, and for the locals that don't want to drive 15, 20 miles, you know, to Giddings or to Lexington or Caldwell. So we provide that. And just all kinds of general goods here for the home, for, you know, painting, a little bit of hunting equipment and plumbing and things like that.
Good plug, Jesse. And the general store has been around since 1917 when it started out as a lumber yard. How about that? So I asked Jesse, why should people take a left off of Highway 21 or anywhere in the area and come to Dime Box?
It'll give them a sense of a small town in Texas. This used to be a very booming community back, I guess, the first oil boom. They can stop by the Heritage Museum and see some old photos of back in the day when this used to be just a booming town, and just get to stop by and meet some of the folks around town here. And a lot of people here are excited about, you know, trying to bring it back. And so, you know, we got a local, other local businesses here like the Dime Box Grocery Store, and then we got Barefoot's, and then we have Jake's Barbecue.
Yeah.
You know, some just local entrepreneurs just trying to get Dime Box back on the map.
Okay, now here's some history about Dime Box, and you've probably heard of Old Dime Box, too. Now, I'm reading this not off of Wikipedia, but the Texas State Historical Association website. It originated between 1869 and 1877 when a settler built a sawmill near what is now State Highway 21, 3 miles northwest of the site of the present community. Records suggest that the mill's builder was Joseph S. Brown, and the settlement of British Americans, Czechs, Poles, and Germans, which grew up around the mill, was known as Brown's Mill. A union school opened in January of 1874. The school later housed the local Presbyterian Church, which was one of the earliest of this denomination in the state. Until a government post office opened in 1877, settlers deposited outgoing mail and a dime in a small box inside Brown's office for a weekly delivery to Giddings. The Brown's Mill post office closed in December 1883. When it reopened the following spring, frequent confusion of Brown's Mill and Brownsville, well, it caused the town to be renamed Dime Box. In 1913, when the Southern Pacific Railroad built the line 3 miles southeast of Dime Box, the original settlement became Old Dime Box, and the new railroad station became Dime Box. Jesse Rangel, he runs the general store, and he says, come on by.
Yeah, they need to come in through Dime Box, come check out the scenery, and just get a taste of old town, you know, small town Texas. A bunch of great people around this community, you know, from all walks of life. You got your local folks, and then you have your weekend folks, people that come in from Austin, people that come in from Houston that have moved in here on the weekends and bought property and, you know, put their cabin on their property and do some hunting and some raise cows on the weekend. So, you know, they little bit of everything here in Dime Box.
Dime Box, Texas, only 3 miles off Highway 21, and that's a Bravo Brazos Valley. I'm Tom Turbeville. It's brought to you by Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, voted the best in the Brazos Valley.
Have you outgrown your nest? I'm Clayton Van Ness. Call my mom, Monica, to find your dream nest.
Hi, I'm Monica Van Est with Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, Aggie Class of 03. After being in the real estate business 16 years, I've learned how to help my clients find the perfect nest. Have you found that you have an empty nest and need to downsize? Are you looking for a new nest or looking to buy a nest for your investment? Call Monica Van Est, Agtown Realtors, 574-4118.
What would the perfect moment in time be for you? Would it start with a Swedish massage in the morning, followed by a customized body wrap? Maybe a European facial in the afternoon, a deluxe spa manicure or a pedicure. Perhaps your perfect moment in time would include it all. At Galleria Day Spa, we create a time just for you. Then we gently slow time down. For an entire day or just an hour, call the Galleria Day Spa for your perfect moment in time. 822-5756. or visit us online at galleriadayspa.com. Gift certificates available.
This Easter Sunday, come take flight with First Baptist Bryan at Operation Easter. Operation Easter is a helicopter egg drop featuring 35,000 eggs, all filled with delicious goodies. All children, 6th grade and younger, are invited to join in the fun and collecting some eggs. Our traditional service will begin at 8:45 a.m. Easter eggs will fly at 10:30, followed by our contemporary service and our brand new Spanish-speaking service at 11:15. We at First Baptist Bryan would love for you to join us this Easter Sunday for Operation Easter.
Hey, go. It's you guys still awake?
Hello? We're here. We're here. Right. Chit Chat Wednesday.
I know. Wow. Well, just enough time to tell you that the polio vaccine developed by Jonas Salk was declared safe and effective in 1955.
It made a big deal.
It really was a big thing.
It's a good
thing, for sure.
Yeah.
The Forever stamp went on sale in 2007.
Okay.
And also, a California man was charged with stealing an ATM machine. He was caught when his artificial leg fell off.
Bummer.
Yeah, at least.
Better planning.
Break a leg.
That's it. All right, we're back tomorrow. It's 9 o'clock, WTAW College Station, Brian.